This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Blip, blip.
Go out.
At the club, Club 1080.
What an exciting time.
Yeah, we still hood famous.
At the club, Club 1080.
Yeah.
Souk and Rob's passion are always the fashion at the club.
You got baby nuts.
I would not say that. I wouldn't say it either.
When you lose your starting kicker.
Those are underrated drops.
Yeah, he dug deep into the...
I went into the deep cuts today, fellas.
I kind of forgot about... You got baby nuts. That was Kimbo Slice versus...
Dada.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Dada, whatever. Are they both dead?
Yes. No, yes.
What?
Because one of them, the
Kimbo Slice is dead.
Kimbo Slice
Dada's
is dead.
Dada's dead.
The Dada guy had a heart attack during the fight.
Oh.
But I don't know if he died, but he did have a heart attack in the middle of the fight. Remember, like, neither one of them could stand up and, like, he just fell over without getting punched?
Sorry to report that Dada 5000 did not die.
Okay, that's what it was.
I mean, I'm happy to report that.
Yeah,
wait, no, I'm sorry that I was wrong. Wait. Yeah. He's dead.
Bottom line is Dada 5000 still alive?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it seems that way.
Kimbo Slice, I know
very, very dead.
He's dead.
Very dead.
Yeah, he dead.
Okay. Oh, hey, let me give you a little leftover audio here. We were playing NBA audio earlier.
I'm watching that fight, by the way. That was the worst knockout in the history of combat sports.
Kevin Harlan, you know him?
I do know Kevin Harlan.
He's a
touchdown Kansas City
sports announcer.
I like Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, he's good.
You're like, eh.
No, he's great. Kevin Harlan's really good.
I'm just saying, you kind of poo-pooed that a little bit.
No, I was just... he's good. Kevin Harlan's really good. As a matter of fact, we've had him on here.
Huh?
Very good sports announcer. Now, he's not a, you know, like, he's not going in with, he's not up there with Keith Jackson or anything.
Okay.
But he's damn good. Well, who's this guy that's playing?
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, you know Lil Uzi Vert?
Now, I do not know necessarily anything about Lil Uzi Vert, but I've seen a lot of stories with Lil Uzi in them.
Yeah, Lil Uzi Vert.
He's a rapper, I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar with the work of Lil Uzi.
Well, Kevin Harlan was on a broadcast. He was doing NBA recently, and he was talking about Lil Uzi Vert. He had to tease the Lil Uzi Vert bit. And here is what that sounded like.
Earlier tonight, TNT kicked off 2018 NBA All-Star Weekend in L.A. with the NBA and TNT American Express Roadshow featuring a live performance from hip-hop artist Lil Uzi Vert.
Lil Uzi!
Based in Philly, baby. I love this single, Money Longer. Stay tuned to see more of his performance during Inside the NBA later tonight. Money Longer! Lil Uzi Vert. He was terrific. He loved watching him.
How awesome is that?
So, Harlan,
we need more announcers to embrace the Lil Uzis of the world.
Now, do we think that Kevin was?
I think he was being sarcastic.
Yeah,
but it still was badass.
Yeah, it was really good.
Boy, I'm looking at Lil Uzi right now. There's a lot going on there.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, Lil Uzi Vert.
That's kind of what's going on in rap right now. All the big stars look like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looks like Lil Wayne, kind of.
But yeah, with lots of colors.
You know, you're so right. It's like, it's supposed to be this expression and everybody's different. And they all look the same.
Yeah. When you have that many tattoos.
Face tattoos.
Do you think Lil Uzi knows how many tattoos he has or what's tattooed on his body?
Sure. Why wouldn't he? It's his body.
I don't think he does. I don't think he's familiar with at least half of those.
Where do you think Lil Rifle Vert, where do you think he fits in?
Lil 9mm Vert?
Lil 9mm Vert.
His real name is Samir Woods.
Where's he from?
Where's he from? Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. You just said that.
Yeah. Come on.
God, I know.
And he's part of the Playboy cartel, but it's Playboy with an I. So, just in case you were wondering his affiliation. And his big hit is Love is Rage 2.
Whatever that word for it.
Oh. And he credits Marilyn Manson as his greatest inspiration.
All right.
Okay, sure.
What, you don't buy that?
Nope.
Why not?
I'm not familiar with Lil Uzi's work. Are you?
No.
Well, then how can you say that Marilyn Manson isn't his biggest influence? You don't know. Look at Mike trying to get all judgy on Lil Uzi Vert.
When he said Money Longer, I just listened to it right now. I would say there's negative Marilyn Manson in Lil Uzi Vert's work.
The opposite of Marilyn Manson?
It's like auto-tuned mumble rap, yeah.
Maybe Lil Uzi Vert is a smartass.
It's possible. I loved it. Can we listen to that one more time?
Oh, the Harlan clip?
I want to hear Harlan get fired up. I just think this is great.
Earlier tonight, TNT kicked off 2018 NBA All-Star Weekend in L.A. with the NBA and TNT American Express Roadshow featuring a live performance from hip-hop artist Lil Uzi Vert.
Lil Uzi!
Based in Philly, baby. I love this single, Money Longer. Stay tuned to see more of his performance during Inside the NBA later tonight. Money Longer, Lil Uzi Vert. He was terrific. We loved watching him.
Money Longer.
That is so great that he embraced that and just went with it.
You know, he's got a little, Michael Buffer in him.
A little bit. Yeah, just he can take it down to a deep register and kind of play it out. Let's get ready to rumble. Although I think I can get sued now, so hopefully Michael Buffer's not listening. Sorry, Michael, I did not mean that.
Yeah, you gotta be careful, dude.
Crap.
Can we dump that?
Like, that dude listens. He listens to things, and he'll come after you.
I bet you he's a P1.
Well, his brother does the UFC stuff too. It's like the whole Buffer family. And I've known some people that have run into him, and I guess he is just a wonderful human being that everyone should embrace. And he's very forgiving. I guess let's just say he's an interesting character.
Here's Lil Uzi Vert, by the way, just so you can hear the Marilyn Manson influence.
Get a taste.
This is a clean version, too, so you're safe.
You know how old Michael Buffer is? Oh,
yeah, this is Marilyn Manson.
Well, doesn't really sound like Marilyn Manson. No. Sounds more like Guns N' Roses.
Can I say what this really sounds like? It sounds like a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Welcome to the stage, Dakota.
Michael Buffer is 73.
Get right the hell out of town. He looks great.
He does look great. He has fake teeth.
Oh, yeah. Those things are
white teeth.
Pearly white.
Yeah.
He's got a good head of hair happening for himself. Got a little of that silver.
So this says he began using the phrase that you just used and are probably in trouble for in 1984. By 1992, he acquired a federal trademark. He has various licensing deals that allow entities to use it.
Yeah. But you can't use it without his permission.
He's done it in advertisement. God, he gets paid a lot of dough, man.
Yeah, he does. He's loaded.
God.
Looking at Christine Buffer, the lovely wife of Michael Buffer. But he's got a good life. He has a very, very good life going for himself. And you know what? He might be a vampire because he doesn't age.
No, like, he looks the same.
Like, I'm looking at photos of him from, like, 15, 20 years ago.
He's like LL Cool J.
Boy, that's a good call. He looks exactly the same. The whole vampire thing happening.
He also is. Oh, how about that? Anyway, okay, let's get back on track here.
Yeah, can you focus?
We've got AI talk and animal news.
Got distracted by Lil Uzi.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah, so I keep... Is there a regular Lil Uzi? And then he's Lil Uzi Vert?
I don't know.
Okay.
So we'll get to those items coming up next. It's Club 1080 on The Fan.
The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
Well, the animals are coming for us. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, we've been trying to warn people for years on this program, and no one's taking it seriously. Well, they've now developed fire.
Yeah, this is a story of the Firehawk Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a predatory bird.
It's pretty badass, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie.
According to Greek legend, Prometheus stole the secret of fire and gave it to humanity. And for that crime, Zeus punished him with a giant eagle who ate his liver every night.
Seems like kind of a... Yeah, and then it would regrow and it would peck at it again.
Well, it seems like the eagles might have gotten the secret from him after all these years.
Yep.
Three different birds of prey have been observed setting fires on purpose.
This is from Australia, by the way, which, once again, everything in Australia will kill you, in case you were wondering.
Researchers have spotted black kites, whistling kites, and brown falcons all intentionally setting fires. And surprise, surprise, all three are from the land of the deadliest wildfire on the planet, Australia. What happens is that anytime a fire sparks in the plains or forests, the birds will gather to snag a burning branch or stick. Then they'll fly up to an area where the fire has not yet spread and drop their payload. Why? Basically, they're going on the bird of prey equivalent of a pheasant hunt.
Yep.
Hundreds of the birds will gather before one of these fires are set, and they will then collectively gorge themselves on the small rodents and reptiles that flee the inferno.
So in case you don't have a clear picture of what's happening here, hundreds of these predatory birds are getting together and being like, all right, boys, let's line up here in a coordinated effort. One of us is going to go get a fire stick. We drop it in there. And they've figured out that all the animals run off. And this is premeditated murder. It's mass genocide with the little field rodents.
According to some legend, the birds actually played the Prometheus role, teaching the secret of fire to the early peoples. And they're like, hey, look at those Firehawk Raptors.
Check this out.
We should do that.
Yes. Look, it's only a matter of time before they start dropping these on our homes, right? It's just a matter of time. Like, you're out there, you're trying to shoo away some bird. You're like, ha! They're trying to get it to go away. And next thing you know, the Firehawk's dropping it right in the old backyard.
This is not good
and
for us.
And your house is going up
and
feeding
on you as you flee the
flame. Right.
Exactly.
As we run out of our houses.
You run out and then like 100. Well, imagine if like 100 raptors started coming at you. What are you going to do about
you're
that?
You're going to die.
Not a damn thing.
Calm.
Ka-ka! It's only a matter of time before the Himalayan snowcock starts this around our
squawk
area.
You guys talk for a living.
Squawk! Look, we're in a lot of trouble. That's all I know.
Yeah.
A lot of trouble.
That story frightens me.
I don't know when people are going to take this seriously, that the animals are coming for us.
On many levels.
Now, did you see... This it's animal related, but apparently these animals decided to not feast on us. Have you seen the video? So I just saw it a couple days ago. I don't know how old it is, of the two killer whales that go alongside the swimmers.
No.
Oh, it's if you ever want to talk about just pooping your pants.
What do I Google?
Google killer whales, maybe killer whales swimmers. And I'm not sure where this was at. But there's these two people, and they're swimming in, looks like a bay of some sort, and someone's filming it from up above, And out of nowhere, these two massive killer whales just start swimming at them. And the person on film is the filming it is like, oh my God, like, look at this, look at this. And the people start panicking and swimming for all they're worth. And the killer whales just split them.
They're in New Zealand.
And just keep right on going.
I'm looking at it here.
You telling me that anything would be scarier than that?
So wait, the kids saw two large fins in the water. I can't see the kids yet. But the killer whales are swimming side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Doesn't it look like
the kids are just swimming for their lives?
Doesn't it look like the killer whales are going right at them?
They just go right by them.
Yep. And if you had the video or the audio on, the person thinks that he's about to watch these two kids just get slaughtered by these killer whales. Because it looked like the whales they're going to bookend them.
Yeah.
And you know, killer whales are, but they hunt in packs. You're like, oh boy, these two kids are about to get murdered. And nope, the whales just swim right on by.
That's crazy.
And those two poor kids, I can't imagine how scary that is. No, and there's nothing you can do at that point. I mean, you're swimming, but you're going to outrun some killer whales?
Once again, you're in the ocean.
I'd like to think that the killer whales were just doing it to F with them. Like, they're like, hey, check this out.
Yeah, they'll get him in their hotel rooms later.
Yeah, they get you. Well, imagine
this is too easy.
Yeah, let's feel out how they're going to try to escape.
They're like, one of them's like, hey, I bet you I can make that kid crap his pants. Like, watch this. Just swim a couple. He's like, let's swim out. No. Trust me. Just you go over there. I'll go over here and we'll just swim right at him. See what happens. Just circle him a little bit. Oh.
I find a little brown fish. Aha. Give me my $5.
That's the ever elusive brown trout. Yeah, and the guy in the video says that that'll make for a lifetime experience.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
That may cure me of ever going into the ocean ever again.
Now, did you know that orcas don't eat people? Did you know that? Or they don't attack people?
Well, that's what they say until they've... you've seen the SeaWorld documentary? They've killed plenty of people there.
Well, that's because... Yeah, that's called, what's that?
Black fin, one of the two. Blackfish, I think.
And they attack because they are so...
Yeah, they get like mentally...
Yeah, they destroyed. Drive them crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess they have really picky palates.
Doesn't mean they can't grab you and drown your ass just for the fun of it.
No, they could do that.
Because dolphins, you know, dolphins kill for sport? There's lots of documented cases of dolphins killing things, not for protection, not to eat. They just kill stuff for fun.
And they also say that killer whales, there are different types of orcas, but there's a type that there are examples of them attacking whales, mm-hmm. and they kill the whale, and the only thing they eat is the whale's tongue.
They do this with great whites, too. I guess there's a thing now where killer whales are so smart, they figured out that if they grab a great white and flip it over on its back,
mm-hmm.
great whites go into some sort of catatonic state. I guess if you're ever being attacked by a great white, get it to roll over and rub its belly, and I guess it just sits there and can't do anything. And then the killer whales rip it open and only eat, I think it's the liver. So somehow they figured out that the liver is rich in some sort of fatty chemical that they want, and that's all they do. They rip open the great white, eat its liver, and then just swim off.
Yeah, so it's basically like sharks when they attack humans. They're mistaking humans
for seals.
For seals, right? Or for food. And they say that orcas, there's really nothing that they hunt.
We don't have anything they want?
Well, we don't resemble anything that they hunt.
Well, thank God
therefore,
for that.
And they're smarter. So it's basically just the fact that sharks are dumb and they mistake us. Whales don't mistake us. There have been instances where, and I'm just reading a little article here, but it says that they have appear to be hunting humans, mm-hmm. but then they realize that they're not sea lions or they're not, and they're like,
yeah, whatever.
I'm out of here.
I'm still not swimming with one. Not good.
Killer whales are smart, man.
I'm still not taking that chance. Would you be comfortable if you're out in the ocean? You're doing a little dog paddling, you see one of those things come up on
you?
Well,
you know what? One year we went to the San Juan Islands to party, you know?
Yeah, it happens.
Because that's what you do up there.
Yeah.
And we went on a kayak tour. Mm-hmm. We went out on kayaks. And they said basically, and the orcas are right there in that area. Mm-hmm. And they just said, if they breach really close to your
kayak,
you just have to pull over, basically. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Just
but
get out of the way.
They are right there. I mean, they're right there.
They didn't scare you at all?
No.
No.
Sort of.
You all right?
Yeah, sort of.
You all right with that one?
I mean, I thought it was amazing. And now we didn't see any, at that time that we were out there, they weren't around. But they are swimming right through there every day. And
I know you're not supposed to be afraid of them. I'd poop myself.
Well, I showed you guys the video from when we went to the Bahamas, and the little guy, when we were snorkeling, went down and grabbed the nurse shark, and then it bit his inner thigh. Now, the nurse sharks don't have teeth like you think, but he still was bleeding. And they have little tiny things down there. And they ran in and bit him, and then he let him go, and then the shark hit me in the stomach and then swam away.
It's all fun and games until one of them, like, they say that they don't, like, most people don't attack, right? Most people are pretty decent until you find the one that's a little off his rocker, and then he goes and kills you.
So,
what if you find the one a-hole orca that's like, screw you, taking a bite?
The only apparent instances of orcas attacking people have happened at aquatic parks, like you were talking about,
yeah,
where they have killed trainers. There are a lot of experts who think that those attacks, we were talking about how that, you know, they confine them and they drive them crazy, and so they eventually just break. Mm-hmm. A lot of other experts think that that's not what they're doing. They just think they're playing. And of course, if you drag they don't eat them or anything. They what they do is they drag them underwater, yeah, and the human drowns.
Although I'll tell you, the last one, the female, the trainer that got killed, and this is what shut down, like, you're not allowed to go in the pool with the orcas anymore. He was playing with her body. Remember, like, when they showed up to get her, like, they couldn't get her out of the jaws of the thing, and he was munching on her.
Yeah, but he's playing. Like, some experts think that he's just playing. it's a freaking whale. It's like, hey, this is fun. See my new toy?
That ragged on.
It's your wife.
Ragged on a little bit. I don't know. I just don't trust anything that big. Like, if you had a pet tiger, would you go out and play with it?
I wouldn't have a pet tiger.
That's my point. It's like, you can say all you want that thing's not going to hurt you until it decides one day that it does. I have an American bulldog that weighs about 100 pounds. Sweetest thing in the world to people. It's like the nicest dog. But every now and then we'll be playing, and you get your dog all riled up. You know, you get like a chew toy or whatever, and they kind of start growling at you. Yeah,
I like it when they shake their heads.
Yeah. And that dog loves me, and I love her. She's a great dog. But every now and then when we're playing, I have this thought of, are we still playing? Are we cool? Because if she wanted to, like, when she bites something, you cannot get her to let go. And I always have this, just in the back of my mind, there's always a little bit of like, what if she just decides that she's pissed at me and decides to grab onto something? I can't get her to let go. And that's a dog. That's a dog, let alone something that could really, really screw me up. I'm fascinated by that, just that world where people are like, no, these animals don't attack until they do.
All right, coming up next, what shall we...
I've got...
What was the other thing?
I don't know what you had. I've got
artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and I have some unintelligence. Have you seen the new Apple headquarters and what's going on?
Yeah, they're walking into the...
I think that's great.
Where is that?
I don't know where that's at. I'll take a look.
Where did they put that big old thing?
But I saw the... how'd you get that big old thing up there on the high dive? I saw that story, and it kind of cracked me up. And I want someone to videotape this.
All right, it is 6:32. Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
Dude, you pull that thing out. I need to see it.
In a minute. All right, listen, you guys can't go... Did you just say we?
What?
Did you just say we just stepped out of the shower?
I said he.
Right, okay.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
Okay, we have an artificial intelligence segment to do, but I'm going to make an executive decision and push that to next week.
You're going to punt on that, are you? Running short on time?
Yeah, we're running short on time as usual.
What? That never happens with us.
I was just reading a thread on why most animals don't eat humans, like even, you know, predatory animals.
Yeah.
They do attack humans, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. But most of them don't. They just don't eat them.
Yeah.
They don't want them. They don't like them.
Why is that?
They make mistakes. Well, it's a long... There's a lot to it, but... Basically, they're saying that you know, predators become specialized towards particular prey. They know what they need to hunt.
And we don't look like
and
them.
And we're not. Yeah, it's just.
Huh.
And if we are hunted by them, we, with our big, giant human brains, flip the script on them. And it doesn't work out well for them.
So they've just learned over the thousands upon thousand years that it's best just to leave us be?
Yeah, it just says most modern animal attacks are not specialized predation. Often they're self-defense.
Well, there's a movie called The Ghost in the Darkness.
So the animal won't eat you.
There's a movie called The Ghost in the Darkness, and it's, I forget the name of the book, but I saw the movie, and then I went and read the book. And it's about, it's in the early 1900s, and remember correctly, it's in India or maybe North Africa, right around that area. And it was about two brother lions, and they're on exhibit in, I think, the Chicago Museum of Art. And it was one of the few cases we know of recorded where lions were hunting again for fun. They were killing all of these railroad workers, and they weren't eating them. They were these two brothers, which, again, two male lions don't ever hunt together, right? It's one lion and, you know, then the lionesses, and they're the ones that usually hunt. The male lions don't really hunt, and yet these two brothers were credited with killing a ton of people, and they were killing for sport, killing for S's and giggles.
Although I read this story the other day, I just looked it up, that there was a poacher that got killed by lions.
Yeah, a lion ate everything but his head.
Yeah. That was on a South African game reserve.
I think that's awesome. Some dumbass poacher came in there trying to get some lion, and they... Ha!
But that's rare, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't happen. Till it does. Animals are just testing us out.
Wow.
I always wondered, like, what would happen if the animals all got together. Like, we have so many weapons, and, you know, I'm sure we'd be fine, but wouldn't that be some kind of great civil war there if we just had the animal uprising? And they all just went, just somehow, they just all just went ape against us all at once. Be in a lot of trouble. Be a lot of death happening there.
All right, you have, what was the thing you teased?
Have you seen the story out of the Apple campus?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, they're running into the glass.
Yeah, so I guess Apple's really secretive, and so no one's, like, they didn't want this to get out, but I guess they built a new headquarters. And it's somewhere in Silicon Valley. It's, have you ever heard of...
Cupertino.
Cupertino?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's Bay Area?
Don't know.
I don't know. But I guess they built this, what Steve Jobs called the spaceship. It's like a big circle, big oval, and it's all made of glass. And so not only are birds running into this thing and dying, which you hear this all the time with glass buildings. It happens like at the U.S. Bank stadium where the Vikings are playing. So I guess birds are smacking into this thing left and right, and Apple was taking some heat for it. But I guess inside the building, there's no walls. Everything is glass. They call them pods.
Mm-hmm.
So think like cubicles, but there's no – and even the offices, it's all glass. There's no interior walls. And so I guess what's happening is – the glass is so clean that people are just slamming into walls left and right. And I guess they were running, they're calling it the O, because I guess when people hit it, like the oil from your head, like your forehead, leaves a little, like a circle on the glass. So I guess some people are laughing that when you walk around, you can see little circles where people are smacking into the glass. And it got so bad that people started putting post-it notes to warn people, hey, by the way, there's a wall here. And Apple made them go and take it down because they said it was distracting from the, you know, the aesthetics.
So are they going to switch that up?
No.
I guess they can't.
I guess they're not. I mean,
by the way, Cupertino is south of Palo Alto.
Yeah, so there you go. And no one's saying, like, exactly what the problem is, because I guess they're super, super secretive about what's happening. I just think it's hilarious that they built this futuristic building and people are slamming into it. And they're also saying that so many people there are staring at their iPhones that this is causing it too. Like as you're going around working on your iPhone, and it's not like you can see, if you just glance up, you can't see the wall. It's a big glass partition. And I would give anything if they would release video of this, of Apple employees just smacking into the wall.
Have you heard of there's this legend that, you know, the blue turf at Boise?
Yeah. That the birds
that
dive?
Birds smack into it and die.
Is that, I don't know if that's a real thing or not.
It's not real.
Is that an urban legend?
Yeah. Birds, well, most birds don't dive bomb, first of all.
No.
And then I guess bird vision is different than human vision, so their vision is far superior. Like they're not going to mistake they know a football field when they see one.
Well, but they can't. The glass building fools them.
Some birds, yeah. But that's invisible.
As opposed to the turf, which was water.
You can see it.
Plus, why would the thing of that? Why would you dive bomb it? The only reason you dive bomb is because you think that you see a fish, you see it at the coast, and I'm assuming you don't see a fish underneath the turf. Now, if Boise was a real D about this, they could paint little fish on there. I wonder if that would work. Like if you put little photos of fish, would birds dive bomb that thing?
No, this says a bird flying over Bronco Stadium will very clearly see the individual blades of artificial turf and all of the tiny bits of dirt and grime within. A bird would immediately recognize that it isn't water. That's how good those bros can see. How about that? Do you know birds can see so well?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you always hear those stories about the birds of prey and the amazing vision they have. By the way, the movie I was talking about, The Ghost in the Darkness, they said that I looked it up and they are the two brothers are on display at the Field Museum, Natural History in Chicago. And the guy who wrote the book on it in 1907, he claimed 135 deaths. They found the remains in the den of between 28 and 31 people that can be confirmed because they were dragging them back to the den. So somewhere between 31 and 135 people were killed by these two male lions, and it was in Kenya. Murderous lions. They were killing railroad workers. And it's one of the only documented cases that we have of lions behaving like this. And the weird part is, too, they're maneless lions. Even though they're male, I guess from this region, they look like female lions, but they're brothers because they don't have the big mane.
Bros. Murderous lion bros. Mike, how does that make you feel?
Nervous.
Hello?
Bro.
See? It can't happen.
All right. Is your brother around?
I think he's around.
Should we get him in here?
What the hell else is he doing?
Dumbass.
I guarantee.
Why wouldn't he be around? He's waiting for Jeopardy.
Well, he's on the couch. Look, at any given time, if my brother is home, which is, I'm going to say, when he's not working or going to church, 85% of the time he's home. And of that 85% of the time he's home, 90% of that is he's on the couch.
I did catch him in the car with his wife post-Valentine's dinner.
Well, see, there you go. Like, for that, he's out. But I guarantee after that dinner was over, he immediately went home and went to the couch. It's what he does. He's a simple man.
Well, let's check in on him next on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245. Kind of broad.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080 The Fan.
All right. We are told that John is on the couch.
Of course. Told you.
Yes. Yes, I am laying on the couch. Well, I sat up now so that I can talk to you guys and be more into the conversation. But previous to the phone ringing, I was laying on the couch, yes.
Well, let's play the new fun game of just ballpark this for me. The amount of time you spend in your house, what percentage of it is spent laying down on your couch?
Well, at any given point, I'd rather be laying on the couch than anything else in the house. So I'm going to say 65%.
I think that's a low estimate, by the way. But,
I love that about you.
I think we're in the ballpark. The man knows what he wants.
Well, why not? I mean, what do you want me to do? Go stand in the kitchen?
Right. Totally.
I could probably wander out to the garage and find something to do, but it's cold out there. So what the hell?
Hey, look, I'm not criticizing. Like I said, I think John has figured out in his life where his wheelhouse is, and that wheelhouse runs right through the middle of that couch.
Hey, despite the enthralling talk of me laying on the couch, can we get right to the case, Rob? Can we get right to Washington State versus Kansas now?
Yeah, I can't wait.
This vicious cockfight.
Yeah, last time...
Can I get...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, can I get some commitments right now? Can I get an early signing period for you and my brother right now? Can we, the three of us, go? I say we go to both, home and home.
Oh, yeah.
I will usher you to and show you the thriving metropolis that is Pullman, and then we will return the favor and go with you to Kansas.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Rob, have you ever been to Pullman?
I have not.
There's a cougar basket waiting for you when we get up there, buddy.
Yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah.
I've never. That's one place I want. I mean, I don't really care about a football game, but yeah, since Jayhawks are playing, I'll go. But I just want to go drink with the Pullmanites.
Absolutely.
I hear they're partiers up there. I'm down with that.
Yeah, they know how to do it. I know it's 9 years away, but I'm excited for this. I feel like if we commit to it, wherever we are, we will make this happen.
So as long as we're not dead, 50s. I will be in my 50s. I will be 51 when we go on this trip.
I will be 53. It'll be fantastic. It's entirely possible, Rob, that you and I will be grandfathers.
Whoa.
Oh.
Mind blown.
My kid's 18.
We could have children that have children
27.
When we go on this trip.
We could.
Yeah.
We very well could.
Granddad's trip.
Holy crap.
Now, I was doing a little research, Rob. This is not the first time that these juggernauts have blocked horns. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I read in a story they've played 12 times maybe or something like that.
Nine times. Do you want to know the all-time record? Because Kansas is dominating the series. As a Coug, we're looking for payback in 2027. I'll tell you that right now.
8-1.
7-2, Jayhawks.
Boom. In your face.
The last win was a 14-12 shootout in 1977.
That's about right.
Yeah, it's the Jayhawks won. And I'm, quite frankly, I'm a little upset about it. I this is the payback tour. We want two in a row. We want to win in Pullman, and then we want to go to Kansas and burn that stadium down.
You know, my first thought about this was, so here's how sad Kansas football's gotten.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about this because I was thinking, when was the last time a really good non-conference opponent came to Kansas and played a game there? And I can't think of it. Tonight or sometime this weekend, I will look that up. But their schedule, they don't schedule anyone in non-conference.
Well, why would they?
And they haven't for a long time. This is huge. This is big.
Well,
I mean,
it's a big deal. It's a big deal for the Cougs too, because Washington State has a small stadium, so nobody will come and play a home and home. Like, we'll always go play places. And when I played there, we went and played at some really cool places. Like, we went to Tennessee, we went to Michigan, and we went to Nebraska. But nobody will ever come back to Pullman and play the home and home. So the fact that Kansas is willing to come to Pullman, and we're willing to go to Lawrence, let's do this.
Yeah, I think I think you nailed it right there. Is the fact that you found two schools who are on the same level to the point where they will do a home and home when most people won't.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel as a Coug fan?
that's where you're at.
You had to go to Kansas to get a home and home from a Power Five.
I love it. I'm fired up for this. Look, I've traveled recently to watch the Jayhawks. You remember?
Yes.
You were the opponent when I went on the West Virginia trip, so I've seen Kansas play. I know what's coming. And I'll tell you right now, the Cougs better get ready. You better buckle up.
Well,
I couldn't be any happier.
I told
about
Jason
this.
Earlier, the Kansas football plan won't quite be rolling by then. I mean, that's only 9 years, so I think they're looking at maybe 2040.
But we're going to catch them on the upswing.
But the ball is rolling.
No.
It has begun. The rebuild has begun.
Listen, you're dealing with the Cougs here, and much like the Mariners, this is 9 years away. Chances are that this looks good for Washington State today. But in 2027, Kansas will be coming off like a 12-0 season and be ready to win the Natty. So I'm fully prepared for something like that to happen.
All right, have a good night. Love you.
All right, go Cougs.
Go Cougs. Rock chalk.
I might head up there. In 3 years, BYU plays up at Washington State, so I may roadie up for that one. But it's not Kansas.
How much is?
Gotta let that one marinate for a while before you get that one. Can't just spring that on people. You gotta allow them to build up the hype.
All right, we're out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. We are not around on Monday because they gave us President's Day off for some reason.
Yeah.
So we'll take it, and we will be back Tuesday, 3-7, on The Fan.
Red Ships of Spain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.